Hear now the word of the Lord. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from all the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he suddenly comes. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord. As some of you know, I have one sister, no brothers. And when my sister was pregnant with my oldest nephew, the entire family was in a season of waiting. William's birth marked the first for all of us. He was going to be the first child, the first grandchild, and my first nephew. He was coming, his coming was in essence a family affair. And all of us took great pains to prepare for it. My sister read numerous magazines and books and articles all about giving birth and child rearing. We followed the progress of all of her doctor's reports, and we painted the bedroom and bought all kinds of things. It felt like we had purchased a lifetime supply of diapers and baby bottles and cute little outfits. He could have worn a single outfit every day for a whole year. We wanted to be ready as we waited with hope for this life that would come and change our lives. To a great extent, this waiting with hope is what the prophet Isaiah is talking about. That is what he experiences. That is what we hear in the Old Testament lesson today. Someone waiting with hope. The prophet Isaiah looks towards the time when the Lord would come down from the heavens. Oh, that you would come down and do a new thing. They are a people who are living in the midst of turmoil. They were exiled for many years, and now they are coming back to Jerusalem, and it is in total destruction. The temple is ruined, the city is in ruins, and they are coming back now to rebuild and regroup. Rebuild their community, rebuild the temple, rebuild their very lives. How do you wait in the midst of such change? It's easy to wait when we're waiting for something that we want. We want Christmas to come. We want a new outfit. We want to go out to lunch with our friends. We are wanting to maybe go on vacation someplace warm now that the weather is getting colder. But it's a whole different thing, and it's a difficult thing to wait when we see suffering all around us, or injustice, or such need. We may find ourselves asking instead of, come, Lord, we may say, how much longer do we have to wait? Or maybe we may wonder if waiting is even worth it. Maybe nothing will come and change. The prophet Isaiah, however, is surrounded by all this need and all these desires that things change. But he waits not with a spirit of fear or apathy or disillusionment. He looks towards the heavens, waiting with hope. Hope that God will come and do something unexpected. Hope that God will enter the mess of their lives, because like a potter, God is the only one who can shape and reform them. With hope, the prophet Isaiah waits for God's coming because he knows that we are the Lord's, not because of our own righteousness, but we are the Lord's because by God's grace alone, God has called us. And that God is able to change things, even when it doesn't seem as though change is possible. My brothers and sisters, how many of us have placed our hope in God, especially during troubled times? Although so much around us may seem like sinking sand, we know that the Lord is that solid ground, that solid rock upon which we can stand, that weathers and enables us to bear through so much. Therefore, we wait, not with fear and anxiety, but we are encouraged to wait with hope. The question, however, especially as we ponder during this Advent season, the beginning of the season of wait, is how? How do we wait? As someone who doesn't like to wait, I don't know if any of you are like I am, I do not like to wait for anything. If anything, I want everything yesterday. And so when I find myself in a position of having to wait, whether it's the doctor's office or standing online at the grocery store or in the airport and you're waiting for your flight to be called, I find all kinds of things to distract myself. I read a magazine or a book. I look on through Facebook. I've got this new app now, Netflix on my cell phone. Oh, you get to watch movies sitting in the airport. It doesn't get better than that. But these are just things to distract me, because when I'm waiting, being distracted makes the time go faster. So it feels as though I could wait all day now that I've got all these other things to keep me busy and occupied. But something interesting happens when that happens. When I'm distracted and my name is called, all of a sudden now it's like, whew, now I have to put all my things away. I have to get all my stuff together and get up to do what I was there to do in the first place. Distraction leaves us unprepared. We're not ready. During the season of Advent, the season of waiting, how easy it is to be distracted. There's so many things to distract us from waiting for God to do a new thing, to come and be born anew in us. But none of those distractions helps to prepare us for Christ's coming. Instead, Jesus tells us that we wait another way. We wait by focusing, not being distracted, but by being focused. Focused on Him who is our guiding principle, the Lord of our lives. We also wait by being focused on our mission as a church. Why are we here? What is this all about anyway? The work that is before us, this work of serving, of proclaiming Christ, of being a witness to His grace and forgiveness, of serving and being the hands and the feet and the arms and the heart of Jesus in our communities through our giving, through our service, we stay focused on what it is to be the church during the season of waiting. That's when the light of Christ shines brightest. That's when the light of Christ shines brightest through and in us, especially when our hearts are troubled and when the world around us seems in such turmoil. And so, my brothers and sisters, I pray that during the season of Advent, that you and I will take time out away from all of the distractions, and that we will focus on being the church together. That the light of Christ may continue to shine ever so brightly in each one of us, and that we may do our work, our ministry, together, giving witness to the new life and the hope that Christ brings as we wait with hope for his coming. For indeed, he is coming, and we want to be ready. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Help us, Lord, to keep our minds and hearts focused on you, so that we may be ever mindful of your coming and live our lives as witnesses to that great day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.